3 o'clock Raw. Hey, what's up, people? It is Monday, cranking it up for another week. Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. Without you, we would not be able to do this dumb show every day, and I'm not posing. So, Ireland, last week I was very critical of the Lakers after the Utah game.
Yeah, how do you look now?
I think I was absolutely right. They did not bring a defensive intensity in that game against Utah.
You ripped them and said they were falling apart.
Correct.
And terrible, and I said there's no reason to panic.
I ripped them because there was not defensive intensity, and all of a sudden they bounced back from that, and they played great defense all weekend long. They held two teams to under 100 points.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what they got to bring every night. You know, they don't have Anthony Davis.
You're a fair weather fan.
No.
Stick with your team when they stumble.
I'm being honest and I'm being critical. I don't work for the team. I don't draw a paycheck from the team. So I'm allowed to say when they don't look good, and they didn't look good last week, and they obviously woke up and they're playing a Frank Vogel defense now.
Well, the other thing they're doing is the question I have, and I brought this up in the first hour, is Schroeder that good? I mean, does he make that much of a difference? Because as soon as he came back, everything seemed to fall back into place. I actually think LeBron locked in defensively, and that helped a lot. But, boy, Schroeder sure did make a difference. Oh, you want to hear a weird stat?
Okay. Yeah.
So here's something to kind of watch when you're watching the games. I was blown away by this because I just never knew it. The Lakers are 19-5 when they attempt more free throws than the other team, and 5-6 when they don't. 19-5 when they do, and 5-6 when they don't. So this weekend, they attempted more both games. Dennis Schroeder was 9-9 on Friday, so that made a bit of a difference, and he was 6-7 last night. So if the Lakers are getting to the line, it's almost a guaranteed win. And if they're not, they're 5-6 when they don't. Isn't that weird? I mean, normally free throws don't make that much of a difference. But, you know, for example, last night the Lakers shot 26 of 38.
Right.
And the Warriors were 13 of 19. They shot twice as many free throws as the Warriors.
Makes a difference. Lakers are a little frustrating at the free throw line, too.
Well,
they miss a bunch.
Yeah, they've been hot and cold. They normally, and this is even when they were winning titles under, under Phil Jackson, they were normally in the bottom 10 of,
free throw percentage.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up where they're at now. Normally, they're an average free throw shooting team, but you can make up for that if you get to the line. They shoot 76%. They're ranked 13th in the NBA.
Yeah.
Which is, middle.
No, middle of the pack. That's okay. That's okay. You can live with that. We're going to connect with O'Shea Jackson Jr. here in a minute. He's on the set of his TV show down in Virginia, the Kevin Durant show. I forget the name of it. What's the name of the show? It's about, he'll tell us in a minute.
Yeah, it's not out yet, that show.
No, it's not out. They're shooting it right now. So he'll join us. Huge Laker fan. I actually was really encouraged by the weekend. You know, they're going to be able to win games without Anthony Davis. I was worried there for a minute. They're now 7-5 without AD. So, as long as they stay a couple of games above 500 without Anthony Davis, and hopefully he comes back, after the All-Star break pretty quick. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is here. O'Shea, what's up, man?
What's good, man? I'm good, man. Chilling. I'm happy the Lakers are back on the winning side of things, and still in Virginia, still begging for help.
So Shay, were you able to watch either Friday's game or last night? They were both on ESPN. Were you able to watch them?
Oh yeah, for sure. And no disrespect to the Golden State fans, but I kind of know that except for that one time where they snuck up on us earlier this year. You kind of hope the Lakers can get it done against that team. They're not the same juggernaut that they've always been.
Well, Shay, throw out who they were playing. Portland Friday, Golden State last night. If the Lakers play defense like that, they're going back to the finals. That was they had 14 steals last night and 9 on Friday. And like I said earlier, if they get a steal, they're so athletic, especially LeBron, that it's a jailbreak. And they just run to the other end. And LeBron in the open court is as good as anybody ever. And if they start averaging double digits in steals like they did this weekend, party's over, man. They're going back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been, like all Laker fans, watching these shows, you know, disrespect us during this time. But, you know, Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder are second and third scoring options.
Right.
Maybe even arguably first with Anthony Davis. And then there are first and second best defensive players. What were we supposed to look like, you know? And Schroeder coming back and the way that he plays, you know, I'm sure his agent is somewhere drooling. But, yeah, he's such a needed piece, and it shows these last two games.
Yeah, he's going to be a free agent, is eligible for an extension right now. So see what Rob Pelinka and the front office do with Dennis Schroeder. But you're right, he makes a huge difference, handles the ball, and kind of shares that responsibility with LeBron James when he's there. Hey, I was just looking at your IMDb page, Shea, and it says you're making a movie called April 29th, 1992, starring you and your dad. Is that true?
Dude, this has been, like, low-key, this has been a rumor since my first movie. I have no, you know, me and my dad, we've always talked about, you know, when are we both going to be on screen together, and it just has to be the perfect thing. You know, we're really making a decision whether we want it to be dramatic or do we want to do it in the comedy world, because we both, you know, I'm establishing my name in that. He's already made his mark. And so, you know, if me and my dad, of course, it's going to be the dream casting that we're both reaching for. But honestly, I don't know what that movie is. I'm going to keep it real. I don't know.
It's the number one thing on your IMDb page.
Well,
and it says it's in pre-production.
Don't believe everything you read.
Listen, I have not read a thing for that. I don't know what that is, but, you know, maybe y'all can let me know in a couple months. But, yeah, I don't know what that is.
Hey, Shay, speaking of that, have you seen your dad's movie that came out last year, The High Note?
The High Note with
Tracy Ellis Ross? Yeah.
I hadn't gotten a chance.
You got to go see that movie. The music is fantastic. They got a young guy in there named Kelvin Harrison who blows everybody away, and a great fun part for your dad. And Tracy Ellis Ross kills it.
Oh, she's great in that movie.
Just kills it. You would like it.
I remember him coming home and saying, "Yeah, I had to really be mean to this lady Dakota today," and I was like, "Yeah, you." So I love seeing stuff like that. I got to check it out.
Yeah, you'll like it. Okay, so Shay, back to the Lakers for a second here. Mason and I argue about this. I'm all in on Brooklyn. I think that even without Durant, they look like they can beat anybody. And when they get Durant back, I think they're just going to go hyperspeed and start blowing everybody away. Mason ain't buying it. He thinks the Sixers are coming out of the East, and he doesn't think Brooklyn can just throw a bunch of things in a bowl, stir it up, and make it work.
All-star teams don't always work, man.
Are you in or are you with me, Shay, in on Brooklyn, or are you with Mace out?
I mean, first off, you know, anything can happen over there in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
You know, the Knicks are fourth place, and I think they're, at 500? It's really just like, I'm going to just keep it real, the easier of the conferences. And when you have a mega team of that magnitude, of course they're going to the chip. Of course they're going to the finals. Yeah, they might have. They might have some trouble with a more well-balanced team like the Sixers, but I feel like all the money is on them. For them to not make it would be worse than last year when the Clippers got bumped in the second round. It would be news everywhere, all over the planet. So, you know, it's they're shoo-in, and they knew it when they built that team. They're shoo-in for the finals.
So, but, Shay,
you know, anything can happen.
If it's Brooklyn versus the field, who are you on?
Brooklyn.
I'm on the field.
Oh, versus the Eastern Conference field, right?
Yeah, I'm on the field. I like Philly.
Come on, dog. You're going to trust Doc Rivers to get past the second round?
I am. I'm going to trust him.
Come on,
I'm going to trust him. They surrounded those guys with really good shooters. Danny Green and Seth Curry, both really good shooters. Shake Milton, really good shooter. And as long as Embiid is healthy, I think they're a force, and I don't think Brooklyn's got a matchup
for him. You know that term good shooter you're throwing around?
Yeah.
Where is it when you're talking about Ben Simmons?
I didn't bring up Ben Simmons. He's just a triple-double. He's a triple-double without any shooting.
Shots fired. Suspect is a John Ireland.
Yeah, I just think I love Ben. I think he's a great player. He can't shoot. And I think that eventually Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden all can shoot. And I just don't think that they're going to be able to go seven games with Brooklyn and put 130 points on a game on the board. It's just
hey, how much
happen.
Longer are you in Virginia, Shea? When do you get back to L.A.?
You know, I honestly, you know, they say that it's a couple of more weeks. I'm starting to give up hope. I'm looking for houses, some good schools out here for my daughter. You know, I'm just losing hope out here. So send a care package, please. Send some food, some water. I'm stranded.
Stranded in Virginia. All right. Hey, listen, Shea, thanks a lot for hanging out for a couple of minutes. We appreciate it.
Of course, man. Anytime. And if the Nets get past the Sixers, Lakers in five.
Lakers in five. All right. Thanks, Shea. Appreciate it, man.
Jalen Rose said yesterday, Mace, that he's, after this weekend, he's absolutely convinced the Lakers are winning it again and nobody will take them seven.
Yeah, I actually saw him say that. 877-710-ESPN. Coming up for you, John, I want to do that story that you've got about the eyes of Texas and the University of Texas.
Yeah.
It's an interesting story. Yeah, you'll...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Always make it sound like you're the only one that does.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with you, but I know you think everything's about you, so go ahead and do it.
Yeah. No, I mean, Morales is just pointing it out. I'm not the only one that notices it.
Yeah, right, Morales is at a professional pot stirrer.
He absolutely is.
He's looking for things.
All right, so this story about the University of Texas and the song Eyes of Texas is really interesting.
All right, so a little background here. The Eyes of Texas is a song that has been around for 100 years, that they play after Texas football games. And for years, the team would face the alumni and sing along with the song. But in the last few years, and in particular last year after the George Floyd killing, many of the players were uncomfortable with the song. The song was written back, I think, in, Lindsay, you said in 1903, right?
Yes.
And it's not, the lyrics aren't necessarily all that demonstrative or obvious, but the fact that it was written in 1903 by a guy who had an affiliation with Robert E. Lee, and it represents a different time. So the players who are demanding changes weren't all that comfortable with it. The alumni are fiercely protective of it. As a matter of fact, our old friend Steve Sarkisian, when he was hired at Texas, was asked about the song. And here's what he said on his first day in the job, quote, "I know this much. The Eyes of Texas is our school song. We're going to sing that song. We're going to sing it proudly." So he's already been told that all the money coming from the alumni is behind the song. But now a email chain, which has all the alumni saying, look, we want that song, and if you don't play it, we might not continue donating, has come out and been made public. And Lindsay, you think now that it's become public that they're going to stop the song. I think exactly the opposite. I think that now they're going to have to play it.
I think the fact that now that the story itself isn't so much whether or not they should play the song, the story has now become that there's emails that show that the Texas donors threatened to stop supporting the university over a racist song. And if you look at the emails, some of the messaging within the emails is really, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, one of them says, it's time for you to put the foot down and make it perfectly clear that the heritage of Texas will not be lost. It's sad that it's offending the blacks. As I said before, the blacks are free and it's time for them to move on to another state where everything is in their favor. That's not okay to say.
Wow.
So I mean, the fact that that's the attitude behind the thinking of keeping it is ridiculous, because that's not okay.
Here's another one. Another donor wrote, quote, less than 6% of our student body is black. The tail cannot be allowed to wag the dog, and the dog must instead stand up for what is right. Nothing forces those students to attend UT. Encourage them to select an alternate school now. So there are racial overtones here.
Yeah, they're not obvious. That's the thing that's weird.
Yeah.
Well, the
racial
song
overtones
itself,
are not obvious.
The song itself is set to the tune of I've Been Working on the Railroad. And I don't think anyone's going to disagree that that is an extremely racist song. It's about slaves working on the railroad.
Right, but it depends how you interpret it. The song, the lyrics of the song.
No, no. The original song is a racist song about slaves working on the railroad.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. You could also interpret it as that was about the Chinese working on the railroad, too.
Right. And it's the...
I don't know. 877-710-ESPN. It's an interesting quandary. I mean, they said only 6% of the student body is black at the University of Texas.
Right. And by the way, this is the same as it is at UCLA.
Right.
I used to get in big discussions with basically the only black kids going to UCLA are athletes.
Yeah.
And it's because they're not allowed to, like, to take the valedictorian from an inner city high school if he doesn't have test scores comparable. You're not allowed to even put your race on an application to a UC school. They don't allow quotas.
Right.
And I actually think that's a mistake.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that you want to have a diverse universe. You want the school you go to represent the world you're going to work in when you get out.
Yeah. I think this is one where what percentage of the football team is black? I got to believe it's a really high percentage.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. And
telling those kids, those recruits, I mean, I'm assuming like 5-star, 4-star, 3-star recruits, they're telling them, pick a different school if you don't like the song.
Yeah. Now, I've Been Working on the Railroad is a completely different song with a different origins. And I just looked it up. It says Princeton students created that song in 1894 to insult black railroad and levee workers. The song's racist lyrics were removed as time went on. Now, here are the lyrics to Eyes of Texas. The eyes of Texas are upon you all the livelong day. The eyes of Texas are upon you. You cannot get away. Do not think you can escape them at night or early in the morn. The eyes of Texas are upon you till Gabriel blows his horn. So I you could also spin that as it's a song about Texas. And I lived in Texas for 5 years. They think it's another country down there, the people that live there. They don't even think it's part of the United States.
Right. Well, they feel about Texas the way a lot of people feel about California.
Right. But in Texas, they really look at it as like they're better than everyone else. And I felt that when I lived there the whole time. But the Eyes of Texas lyrics aren't as
obvious.
Like I'm reading an article that says few would say those lyrics are racist, but some UT professors explain the nodes of racism won't be found in the Eyes of Texas lyrics, but in the song's past. So you got to connect the dots to get
to
the
racist song. So in other words,
song.
That Robert E. Lee was the president of the University of Texas, and then this Mather comes along, and he's the one who sort of institutes this song, and he was a racist, and so that's why the song is
are
racist.
Are you sure Lee was the president of Texas?
I think Robert E. Lee was the president.
I don't think he was. I thought he was like a Confederate war.
Yeah, I think he was farther
Confederate
south.
Confederate general, yeah. But Robert E. Lee, he was part of like the Confederate army. And one of the things is, I guess, one of his sayings that he was
Yeah, he was the
saying,
president of Texas from 1865 to 1870.
Well, one of his big sayings were like the eyes of the South are upon you. So that's kind of how they right. worked that into the song.
So
and they also say that, yeah, they also say that the song was routinely performed by musicians in blackface. So like you said, it may not be super obvious, but it, at the end of the day, it's a racist song.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an African-American, if you're black at the University of Texas and this song is offensive, it's offensive. I mean, if you draw that conclusion, as a black student or as a black football player or basketball player, then it's offensive. And
here's what the president says about it, of Texas, the current president.
Yeah.
Many believe the song is a positive, unifying force that inspires Longhorns to do their best. We also recognize that others feel differently. This is why we've taken the approach that we did, conducting an in-depth study of the history and origin of the song. My hope is that with the clarity of facts, we can begin the process of learning and reckoning with the eyes of Texas in a way that can be a model for having difficult conversations, bridging divides, and understanding diverse points of view. Doesn't sound like they're getting rid of the song.
No. And it sounds like the alumni are going to pull their money if they do get rid of it.
Yeah, here's an email. My wife and I have given an endowment in excess of $1 million to athletics. This could very easily be rescinded if things don't drastically change around here. Has everyone become oblivious of who supports athletics?
Yeah, but this is all before this stuff got out. Don't you guys think that now that these actual emails, along with the people's names attached to them, now that these have become public record and they're out there, that A, these people are going to be frowned upon by the rest of the world, and
yeah,
who knows what further consequences they're going to suffer. But the fact that these emails and what they've said in them have now been made public over the past couple days, I think that changes everything. And I think that they're going to completely backtrack on the statement, and they're going to have to get rid of the song. They have to.
I think the exact opposite. I think
you think they're going to double down and keep the song no matter what?
Yep.
I tend to think money plays
now,
here.
Yep. That's why I think it too.
Yeah,
and
they've got the
way,
money at this table.
I think what they may do is keep the players off the field and take the controversy for the players out of it.
Yeah, play the song before the players go on the field, and then after the – because they play it at the beginning and the end. After the players leave the field, then play it.
Right.
That's probably what they're going to do to split the difference.
But I think that, you know, money talks.
Yep.
In situations like that.
It does. All right, coming up next for you. John, are you ready for a computer on your head?
Oh, you're not doing this again, are you? Are you
yes,
putting
I am.
Another computer chip in your brain?
Plus, I've got a question for Broadway, John.
Oh, excellent.
Up. Yeah, that's coming up next for you.
There's
Mason and
no
Ireland.
No business like Joe.
Yeah, there you go. Mason and Ireland,
no
710 ESPN.
I know.
The Lakers have put together a two-game winning streak. They face Phoenix tomorrow night at Staples Center. J.J. Watt has landed with the Arizona Cardinals on a two-year, approximately $30 million deal. He joins Chandler Jones, who's a really, really good defensive player that they've already got. So they've got guys that can rush the passers now along with that offense. And the NFC West just gets better and better. John, I came across this story, and I wanted to give it to you and get your take. So Apple, of course, invented the cell phone for all intents and purposes. Now they're looking to invent the future again. It is wearable technology.
Okay.
Smartphone sales have fallen 2 years in a row, so Apple is looking to carve out a new niche. They are reportedly developing a face-worn computer that superimposes computer-generated objects on the real world. You'll still see the real world in front of you. It's not like those Facebook Oculus, but it won't be virtual reality. You'll see computer-generated augmented reality layers, computer-generated text and images on top of reality. For example, you will say, hey, Siri, what are Mike Trout's career statistics? And it will pop up in one lens of your glasses. You will have the answer just like that. Apple could release the headset as early as 2020, and they could cost as much as $3,000. John,
who's Siri?
Oh, I have a fancy assistant.
Oh, okay.
No,
everybody else has Siri. Mine is Siri.
Siri with an accent.
Mace, you know
okay.
where you know where that popped out of?
Remember, no, where?
Remember the cute girl in the office on 30 Rock?
Yeah.
Siri.
Siri, yeah.
Well, hey, Siri.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, Siri. That's how my girl works.
Okay. So what makes...
She's fancy.
I got a couple questions about this. Are
yes.
they just glasses like you and I wear, like eyeglasses, or are they a whole like headset?
Just glasses. You will basically have a computer in your glasses.
Oh, I would try that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd pay $3,000 for it, but I would try that.
See, I would try to be one of the early adopters on that. The idea of that is incredible to me, that you could just have everything at your fingertips in your glasses. Lindsay,
although
are you in on this?
Sometimes I learned it's better to wait. Like, for example, I was one of the very first people that I ever knew that had wireless earbuds.
Did you just say you're one of the first people you ever knew?
Well, yeah.
Wait a minute. I was one of the first people to have wireless earbuds, and you said those things will fall out, and they didn't fall out,
no,
so then you
I
got
them. I had one from some company called Ear In that I took on planes, and I liked them. I think the company still exists. But until Apple came along, they didn't really click. You know, like the Ear In didn't really get them right. So I'm trying to think of something. Didn't Apple have Apple had some type of glass of wearable glasses?
No, Google did.
Google did.
And there was something called Google Glass.
Right. Why didn't they work?
I don't think they had the technology. Like, I don't think they were able to put a computer on your face, which is
Google
what
Google Glass
is
still a
do.
Thing.
Oh, wait, but do they work?
Well, I think it's still kind of one of those things where it's still in the works. Because around the time that it was being developed and being starting to become like a marketed product, that's when a lot of this VR stuff came into play. And I think Google Glass was like, you know what? We're going to let this wave of like VR stuff kind of blow up. And because I guess Google Glass is a super way high tech version of VR. So I think that it's eventually going to come out and like be a thing. But I think that they're just waiting until, like, the technology is a little bit more.
Well, yeah, you got to be careful. Like, every once in a while, like, Mace, when you own movie theaters, everybody said that pretty soon every movie is going to be 3D, right?
I don't know if they animated movies were going to be 3D.
And then remember 3D glasses were a really big deal. And, like, they made you guys all put in 3D projectors.
Correct.
And then it just kind of went away.
Well, no, 3D does really well. I mean, when theaters were open, 3D does really well, especially on animated pictures.
Right, but I'm just saying that I would wait to see if they get this technology right. Like, those Ear-In earbuds were okay, not great. The Apple ones are great.
Yeah, Apple doesn't screw stuff up. I don't think they'll put it out until it's really good. And I'm Apple. Like, I never understand people who are like Galaxy. I mean, I know they've got stuff, but I mean, I've got my Apple Watch, I've got my iPad, I've got my laptop, my MacBook. I mean, I'm Apple all the time. Hey, Siri, buds.
Some people can't afford it. Apple stuff's expensive.
Apple and Siri.
Yeah, Siri.
Yeah, Siri. Hey, Siri.
Fancy assistant.
Hey,
but
Siri.
If you can afford it, if money is no object, yeah, Apple's the way to go.
Hang on, she answered. What are Mike Trout's career statistics? Siri's going to get him for me real quick.
Yeah, right.
Wait, you know, John, you mentioned that.
Mike Trout has a career batting average of .304. He's got 302 home runs and 798 RBIs, 1,000 OPS. So that's what Siri just got for
me. There you go. Well, John, you mentioned Apple's great if you can afford it. But I actually had this debate with my mom the other day because she's in the market for a new laptop. And I said, Mom, you just bought that other laptop like 3 or 4 years ago. If you had bought a MacBook like I told you to 3 or 4 years ago, you wouldn't be needing another laptop now. Because many PC laptops, they're only good for like 3, 4, 5 years.
Right.
And then the technology like supersedes them. So I keep telling her, if you buy a MacBook, like you'll be good for 10, 15 years.
Well, but Mason's a good example of this. He burns out computers in 2 years.
Yeah, I wear them out.
This one
I've had for like 2 years. No, yeah. I type really hard.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah, but so, I mean, like
every 2 to 3 years I've got to replace my PC.
Right, and MacBooks they live a lot longer because
Mason replaces his laptop faster than I do.
Well, yeah. Punching on it is a little bit different.
Okay.
Then I'm talking more about.
Hang
like
on a second. Here's how hard I am on my computers.
Jeez, yeah. You're going to break it, man.
Yeah, but he's always been like that.
I type with
very loud typer.
With purpose. All right, Broadway John. Ready, Broadway John?
Yeah, what do you got?
This week is the 25th anniversary of the musical Rent, which is my favorite Broadway musical of all time.
I've only seen it once, and it's probably 30 years ago I saw it. Maybe it's 25.
Well, it's 25th anniversary. When I lived in New York and I was having a bad week,
right.
And I had my fair share of bad weeks, I would go to see Rent. I'd go to see a matinee of Rent on Saturday.
What's the biggest song that came out of Rent?
Seasons of Love. Do you know that song?
No.
Seasons of Love.
525,600 minutes.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about Broadway the other day, actually. Boy, can you think of, off the top of your head, an industry that has been more kneecapped by COVID than Broadway?
No.
Completely shut down.
Yep.
And Mace, think about it, because you like going to shows too.
Yep.
what would you say, 75 to 100 theaters on Broadway, and then there's off-Broadway, and every, like, I remember when I went and saw Bruce Springsteen on Broadway,
yep,
tickets for that were going for over $1,000 a seat. Yep. When I went and saw Bryan Cranston's show Network,
yep,
not an empty seat in the house. When I went to Kill a Mockingbird, $500 a pop.
Wow.
You know, and so, and now all of it gone overnight. You know, it
and who knows when it comes back or how it comes back.
Right.
Although I've gotten way more optimistic about the world. Way more optimistic.
But about Broadway, have you?
Yeah, I think we're going to see Broadway in 2022. I think there will be Broadway by the end of 2022.
Yeah, I just feel so bad for those actors who...
Oh, it's terrible.
They're not getting any income.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Rapp, who played the original Mark in Rent, and Wilson Cruz, who played Angel, both of them did the Culture Pop podcast with me. And they're just, you know, the Broadway actors are just devastated by this. And, you know, the Broadway, there's nowhere else to go. Those guys happen to be on Star Trek, so they've got other, you know, that's their primary job now. But Broadway actors, just a terrible, terrible thing. But, John, I will tell you this story. Do I tell it? No, I'm not going to tell it. Should I tell it?
Well, now you kind of
Yeah, you have to.
Okay, so here's the deal. So, yesterday, I picked up a prescription at the pharmacy. Juan and I went
you
to the pharmacy.
You left the house?
Left the house and went to pick up a prescription. We both went. And, okay, of course, stopped at Starbucks. So, it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And this was actually Saturday. And I said to the lady at the pharmacy, hey, is it true that you've got leftover vaccines at the end of the day?
Oh, you got one.
And she said, I have 8 of them. Left over. And they can't refreeze these.
Correct.
Things. So I got it, and Juan didn't. And Juan got it. We both got it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's great. Why wouldn't you tell that story?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Because you feel like you might be guilty of, like, jumping. You'll
yeah,
get
but
jumping
I mean,
the line.
They were
no,
they
no,
were
no.
Throw them away
no,
anyway,
matter of fact,
yeah.
Lisa, my wife, is going to do what you were doing is loitering. You were there at the end of the day. She's
yeah.
going loitering with a couple of her friends. She's heard about a certain pharmacy someplace where that often happens.
Yeah.
And she's going to try it on Wednesday.
And the thing is, they can't, you know, they can't refreeze this stuff.
And now,
they have
okay.
to use it on that day.
Okay, so you also automatically go into the protocol for the second shot, right?
In 28 days, I get shot number 2.
And is this a pharmacy near where you live?
Yeah, near where I live.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was all the regular people I see at the pharmacy.
Hey, what time of day were you there?
I was there at 5 o'clock on the dot.
And so you have to be there towards the end of the day, right?
Yeah, towards the end of the day after all the appointments and there are some left over.
And
I was so excited about it because that means 28 days, I get the second shot, which I hear is not a lot of fun.
Right. Although my mom got her second shot on Friday, and she had very little after effect.
My mom got it, and she had nothing.
Yeah,
she had nothing
same with
all.
My mom.
Did you get, Mace, did you get Pfizer or Moderna?
I got the Moderna.
That's what my mom got, and she said she had very little second effects.
Good. Yeah, the first shot, you know, my arm's sore, but that's about it. Now I'm really friggin' excited because that means I will be at Dodgers opening day. I will be able to go to Lakers. I will be able to go everywhere and feel completely comfortable about it.
Yeah, good for you. I don't know why you'd be afraid to tell that story.
All right, we got Game of Games coming up for you in a minute. Game of Games time! And in the month of March, we started a little early because Ireland won again. He's won January, February, and we're starting March. Ireland is already up 2-0 on everybody in the month of March.
Yeah, but I'm not going to win this month because I'm taking the All-Star break off. I'm getting out of here for the NBA All-Star break. So this is up for grabs this month to
of
you people who normally finishes second.
I am going to clean up. John, it is your game today. What do you got?
All right, so the NBA All-Star game is this weekend in Atlanta. And I have an all-star game quiz. This is multiple choice, so you all have a chance. But as always, if you want to jump in early and steal,
oh, I love doing
you
that.
Get the point to yourself.
Never works for me.
So
but
use
I like
your
doing
name
it.
As your buzzer if you want to jump in and steal. If I get all three answers out, then everybody gets a guess. Here we go. Question number one. Jorge can play, Lindsay can play, and Mason's in. Here we go. The NBA player with the most all-star game selections is A, Kobe Bryant, B, Vince Carter, C, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Mace. Kareem.
Kareem is right, but I don't know if I can give you a steal there because you let me get the word Kareem out. I think I have to give that to Lindsay and George also. Because
wait a minute. Isn't it just multiple choice? Didn't I get it right?
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
but so I get a point, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you all do.
We all do. Thank you.
You all do.
Yes.
But you jumped in. You didn't need to jump in.
Okay.
I don't think he was listening to the rules when you
said
that the first time.
I don't either.
Okay. You only jump in if you want to steal it from the other two, but you can't let me get all three guesses out.
Oh, okay.
So everybody's
got
one. Here
Jeez.
We go. Number two.
Complicated games.
Who holds the highest? You just said you love that part of the game. Who holds the highest average points per game in the All-Star game, minimum of three games played? Is it A, LeBron James?
Mason.
B, Mace.
LeBron James.
Incorrect. That leaves this open for Jorge and Lindsay. B, Kobe Bryant. C, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Jorge, is it Kobe or Giannis?
Kobe.
Lindsay, is it Kobe or Giannis?
I'm going to guess Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You're glad you did, and you pronounced it correctly. Lindsay gets the point. Giannis
yes!
is the all-time leader.
Wow.
He averages 27 points a game in the All-Star game. Okay. Question three. It's Lindsay 2, Jorge 1, Mace 1. Question three. The player who has scored the most points ever in any All-Star game is A, Michael Jordan. B,
Lindsay. I think this one is Kobe, isn't it?
Incorrect. You're out.
Dang it.
Mace and Jorge still alive. Is it A, Michael Jordan? B, Anthony Davis?
Mason.
Mace.
Anthony Davis.
It is Anthony Davis. 52 points a game.
Yes.
And Mace ties Lindsay. Jorge is third with one.
I need this.
The player with the most assists in any one All-Star game is A, Chris Paul, B, John Stockton, C, Magic Johnson.
Mason.
Mace, guess A, B, or C?
C.
Okay, Jorge, or Lindsay.
Chris
Paul, John Stockton, or Magic Johnson?
I'm going to guess C.
All right, Jorge.
Stockton.
Jorge, you should have gone with the group. Ah. It is Magic Johnson once had 22 assists.
Wow.
In an All-Star game. So Lindsay 3, Mason 3, Jorge 1. All right. The guy who has made the most All-Star game free throws in his career with 178.
Wow.
Is A, Wilt Chamberlain, B, Elgin Baylor, or C, Kobe Bryant?
Mason.
Mace.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Incorrect. You're out. Lindsay, is it Elgin Baylor or Kobe Bryant?
I'm going to guess Elgin Baylor.
All right, Jorge, Elgin Baylor or Kobe Bryant?
I'll go Baylor.
Elgin Baylor is the correct answer, and Lindsay takes the lead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, three more left and a tiebreaker if we need it. The guy with the most career three-pointers in the All-Star game with 38 is A, LeBron James, B, Steph Curry, C, Ray Allen.
Mason.
Mace.
Ray Allen.
Lindsay. LeBron, Curry, or Ray Allen?
I'm going to guess Curry.
Jorge.
Allen. Ray Allen.
Jorge, that was your chance. It's LeBron. LeBron has 38.
How did you not know that?
All three of you missed it. All right, Lindsay 4, Jorge 2, Mace 3. Jorge, with only two questions left, you need to get this one right in order to stay in the game. Here we go. I'll let you go last, unless somebody jumps it. The record for most career steals in the All-Star game is A, Kobe Bryant, B, Larry Bird, C, Isaiah Thomas.
Mason.
Mace.
Isaiah Thomas.
Lindsay.
Mace, you know that if you buzz in, like, after he reads it all,
I know,
it
he doesn't know. Just let him keep going.
I've been laughing this whole time.
Yeah. Guess Kobe.
Lindsay, Kobe, Larry Bird, or Isaiah Thomas?
I'm going to guess Kobe.
Jorge, Thomas. Kobe, Larry, you're guessing Isaiah?
Yeah.
The game is over. Lindsay wins it. Kobe Bryant with 38 career
Play that Charizard sound clip.
Yeah. Right.
All right. We'll play these last two just for fun. The guy with the most blocked shots in the All-Star game with 31 Is it A, Hakeem Olajuwon?
Mason.
Mace.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Incorrect.
Am I not allowed to buzz in? I don't
care. No, you are.
Yes,
you just missed
it. If you're
wrong,
then you eliminate it.
You buzz in, but you must answer correct.
Yeah, now you're out. All right, Jorge and Lindsay. A, Hakeem Olajuwon. B, Moses Malone. C, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Lindsay.
No, I'm going to guess Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, I'm going to go C.
Yep, both of you are correct. It is Kareem. And Mace, that means you finished last. But you
know, Mason.
Mace.
Larry Bird.
all right, let's do the tiebreaker just for kicks.
Okay.
All right. The largest attendance for any one NBA All-Star game happened in 2010. How many fans attended the 2010 NBA All-Star game? Lindsay, take a guess. You can go over if you want, but take a guess. How many fans attended the 2010 All-Star game?
Well, I'm going to guess 38,500.
38,500. All right, Jorge?
I'll go 27,000.
27K. Mace.
I would go 32,310.
Lindsay wins again.
Oh, God.
The answer, and everybody forgets
screw
this about
game.
This. 108,713. They held
Wait
the 2010 All-Star Game in Cowboy Stadium.
Oh, wow.
And sold all the tickets.
Boy, what's the point of that? What would be the point of being in the top row of Cowboy Stadium watching the All-Star Game?
I went to a Final Four one year in the Superdome, and it was pretty much looking at ants.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even a good experience, right?
Yeah.
You can't even see the game.
Wrestling too.
With 1 minute left in the show, I'm told we may have a special guest. Jorge, is that true? Sedano just texted me and said he was logging on, but if he didn't do it.
Well, he's only got 1 minute.
Yeah.
1 minute.
Sedano,
oh, there's
there?
George. Hey, George.
All right. I am coming on to make fun of you, Mace.
Okay.
Because forget about the game. John Ireland, you gave me all sorts of grief for my fantasy basketball trade with Steve Mason.
Yes,
okay?
I did. You rooked him.
Where he traded, I traded Carl Anthony Towns and Chris Paul.
15 seconds.
For Fred, we can just go longer. It's fine. Fred Van Vliet, Michael Porter Jr., and Bojan Bogdanovic.
Yes.
You know what Steve Mason did this weekend?
He didn't trade Towns.
Threw in the towel.
He traded in Towns and Bradley Beal for an injured Kevin Durant and Theo Maledon.
Because I'm playing for next year.
But Kevin Durant may never be the same guy.
I'm playing for next year. He's a third-round pick. I've got him in the third round next year. I will take that.
Mace.
Right, but what if he does? What if he keeps playing?
I don't hate that trade.
You don't?
He's got first-round value.
I think Durant is – I think if Durant comes back after the All-Star break, he's going to score 30 points a game.
If you think that my trade was bad, this was way worse.
Well, of course it is. Mason made it.
Yeah, but that was a trade where I was trying to win. Now I realize I'm in the
Mason.
Top tier, but there's no
right.
way I can get
hey,
in.
Let me
you
get
what,
this
Mace,
in there. Game of Games is sponsored by PowerPro Plumbing and Heating.
Man.
Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They're my plumber. They want to be yours, too. Call 800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. Sedano, since we got you here, what's coming up on this show?
Frank Vogel at 4:15.
Oh, nice.
Mace, this was such a bad trade, I almost vetoed it for you. Like, seriously.
Wow.
I was going to protest.
I'm playing for next year. I'm playing for next year.
Wait a minute.
You're
We're not
so
even at the All-Star break
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, but there's no way I could get there. I saw it straight up. There was no way I could get there.
You're
saw
the worst
no
fantasy player ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait a minute. Worst fantasy player ever. I'm beating George by 30 points.
But my whole team got hurt. There's a difference. And I didn't trade away for a guy who's going to probably be injured the rest of the season.
I think Durant will come back after the break just like Anthony Davis.
There's a reason the name Last Place Mace is trending. I'll just put it that way.
Even the tyrant Trudell thought it was a terrible deal.
He did. He hated the trade because it made it tougher on him at the top. All right, that's it for Mason and Ireland. Coming up next for you is Sedano, LZ, and Cap. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, Siri.